of southwest Louisiana until around 8 p.m. This evening, a 20% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a low of 43, and on Tuesday, a sunny day with a high of 61. Currently, it's 66 and cloudy, drizzling here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. We're going to start this hour by going into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And joining me by telephone from Los Angeles is musician, composer, and arranger Gordon Goodwin. He is an arranger of music in jazz, TV, and film scores, and he will be in Lafayette at UL Lafayette March 1st and 2nd to do some clinics and a concert that is open to the general public. And we were just chatting a bit before, Gordon. I was telling you how excited people already are that you're coming here. They know your music, and a lot of that has to do with, of course, we have a great jazz program here, but just young people passing around music on social media and sharing videos, and it's such a wonderful way to get your message and your music out there.
It really gives you hope, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
To see young kids that are, voraciously enthusiastic about music of content.
Mm-hmm. That's what a good
clearly,
way to put that, music
yeah,
of content.
You see, most of the culture you see embracing music that maybe doesn't have the same values that some of us do. And yet there's a multitude of kids at the high school and college level that are really keeping this music alive, and it's key to the future of it, really. For these kids, maybe they're not going to grow up to be professional musicians, but they'll always have that, they'll be supporters of the music. They'll buy it, they'll go to the concerts. And so for any jazz or classical musician, I mean, it just behooves you to, stay actively involved, in this, especially at a time now where, arts and programs in the schools are being decimated.
Yes.
So there's a growing void, and I think the artistic community needs to step up into that void.
Right. We're very fortunate here to have some great, great band programs in the high schools. I know a number of students listen at this time as well as their parents, and we know that they're planning to attend, and they're very energetic and active, and of course many of them have come to UL to be in the music program, whether it's the jazz studies, music media program, so quite an active music program, and it does give us a lot of hope here as well. And as you said, just for personal enrichment later on, keeping up with music.
And not only not only appreciation for the arts, which is great. I mean, because if jazz disappeared tomorrow, now I'd hate it, but I'd go on. Life would go on. So it's not like we need people that understand jazz. But what we do need is people that know how to think, and people that know how to problem solve, and people that know how to see between the lines of issues. And that's what music teaches kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
And the fact that is not something that's well understood by a lot of the school boards in this country is just such a mystery to me. It's not like it's new information. We've known that for a while, and I think that is maybe the greatest loss to especially a young developing mind, to be able to be exposed to music that can have those great effects. But
right.
But for me, I came out of programs just like the one you have going there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hear you say, well, all these kids are excited about your music and about you coming, it's still a little bit surreal, because I feel like I was just there. I was them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because when my band, the Big Fat Band, we do a lot of concerts, for high school kids and college kids. And I look out there in the audience and see them watching this, and I just remember myself at a Woody Herman or a Buddy Rich concert. Or a Count Basie concert, I went to a summer camp run by Stan Kenton, and I sat there in front of the Kenton band, 3 feet away from that band every night. And I it's such a vivid memory. So for us to be a part, of that chain, it's pretty gratifying.
Mm. And in addition to just inspiring these kids emotionally, personally, musically, just your presence here, when you're talking about school boards and officials, your presence here makes a big difference. For our audience who may not be completely familiar with your music, you have been nominated for countless Grammys and Emmys and have won awards.
Well,
and
you could probably count them if you...
Well...
It wouldn't take that long to count them.
I don't have that many fingers. They're quite a number. But that makes a big difference, you taking time out of your schedule, touring and composing. I mean, you have, what, almost 200 jazz ensemble publications, enormous. And so to take that time sends a message, and it's a big message, and we're very grateful for your time here.
Thank you. Well, the essence of that message, though, and I've maybe as I've matured, I've come to gain an appreciation for it, of what a gift it is to have a life in music. It's just unbelievable, especially, you know, we all could probably have a fairly healthy list of people we know who go to jobs that they just endure so they can get to the weekend. That you know, they have a responsibility to support their family or to pay their rent or whatever the case is, and they're not doing what they love. And me, on my worst day, I get to play and write music. Even when I have an assignment here in Los Angeles, writing for a stupid TV program or film or something that I'm not even writing music that I like, but that because that's what the director wants. Even on that day, how bad is that? It's completely amazing to me that I was so fortunate that that's my life. And you know, it keeps you young.
Music keeps you young.
It does take a little bit of faith and confidence, because as a freelance, you know, musician, you don't really know when your next gig's coming in. You just have to know that if you stay in the game and you know, that job is going to come in. And I've been, once again, very lucky that I've been diversified enough that I've rarely been very bored. So, but I think that's one thing that I try to impart to kids, because, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really maybe take the long view of, you just kind of assume this is the way it is. I get to play music. Mm-hmm. My parents pay for my lessons. Mm-hmm. I have a program at school. I mean, I've seen music programs at schools go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen institutions like Tower Records. I used to spend every weekend there when I was in college. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Recording studios in Los Angeles, like, they have these big sound stages where we record all the film music. There was a big one called Todd AO, just a beautiful state-of-the-art studio. It's gone. They turned it into reality television secretarial space. And so the economics can run rampant, I mean, just like it's doing, you know, to the arts programs in schools right now. So I guess you learn that to appreciate what you have, you know, when you have it.
Yeah, nurture it, cultivate it. And you make a good point, too, about, you know, if you're just a musician waiting for the next gig, can be a little uncertain. But it's important to learn to compose, arrange, do other things with music in addition to just simply playing it, which, of course, is a wonderful, enriching thing. But obviously that helps so much more.
It does. It does. And being having a wide set of skills enables you to be flexible when the business does change.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, especially now with technology, you know, when I started writing music, it was me, a pencil, and a piece of paper and a piano. And now I'm sitting here talking to you in a studio full of computers and samplers and all this technology. I spent a lot of time trying to get the technology to work, which is not really my favorite part of the day, because I'd rather be playing or writing music instead of, you know, looking at manuals and installing software and you know, it just takes that kind of maintenance to keep it going. So,
okay.
But I'm glad I have the skill set. Yes. I'm glad I was able to adapt.
Right. And I think the younger students are much more comfortable with that. You know, we have, again, I mentioned a music media program here, and they're very comfortable with computers, and it's just their tools, and they're learning how to use it. I do want to tell people who may just be tuning into us right now that with me by telephone from Los Angeles is musician, composer, and arranger Gordon Goodwin, multi-award winner. He will be with us here in Lafayette March 1st and 2nd, giving clinics to college and high school aged musicians, and then giving a concert with the UL Jazz Ensemble March 2nd. That's a Saturday in Angel Hall. Well, tell us just a bit about how you developed your interest in music, particularly jazz, and wanting to write jazz.
I was fortunate that I had, my parents forced me to take two things. They forced me to take swimming lessons and be on a swim team, which I hated, and I wasn't good at it. They also forced me to take piano lessons when I was in kindergarten. Hated that too, but I had a piano teacher who recognized she needed to figure out a way to keep me engaged, and I'm not sure how she knew this, but she said, tell you what, if you practice your scales, like I've asked, then I will let you write your own song. And I thought, well, what do I want to do that for? But she kept saying that, And I guess as a kindergarten kid, maybe I do want to do that. So I wrote a little four-bar, I don't know what it was. It was pretty terrible. She goes, okay, great. Now, next week, if you can play your F major scale, I will let you write a waltz. Now, I didn't know what a waltz was, but she told me. It's in 3/4 time, you know, and here's what it's like. And so I wrote a little eight-bar waltz. Now, I wasn't a little Mozart. But I was, at an early age, I started to kind of get the idea, well, maybe I can kind of create my own music. So she would have me do a different, like, it'd be a march one week, and it'd be a polka the next week. And so it was really an amazing thing that she did. And then from there, I saw the Walt Disney movie, The Jungle Book, which had a lot of jazz in it. And I heard that music, and I thought, wow, that's really... I don't know if it was a combination of the music and the bright colors of the animation or something as a little elementary school kid. That appealed to me. And then the next thing was probably when I was in seventh grade, and I had started to write little pieces for the piano and whatnot, and I heard Count Basie's band, my band director, played it for me. He said, you need to listen to this. And it changed my life. I heard this piece written by a composer named Sammy Nestico, and I remember where I was when I heard this music, and right then in seventh grade, I go, that is what I want to do. It almost felt like a past life experience.
Well, and thanks
whatever
to
that means. Yeah. And I said, wow. And of course now, you know, I could hang the phone up from you and call Sammy, and we're friends now. And that is what it's been so gratifying that I've been able to express to him probably more times than he wants to hear how he changed my life as a kid and showed me what I wanted to do. That's what I want to do, big band music, and I want to compose it and perform it.
Well, there's going to be a kid in the audience on March 1st or 2nd who's going to have the same experience and be calling you up 2 decades from now, telling you over and over again.
I'll take the call.
Yeah. So what a wonderful teacher to, I guess, with that Tom Sawyer-like way of leading you on, making you think that this was a wonderful thing to do. And there you were, just composing all kinds of different styles of music. But obviously jazz, you fell in love with that, big band sounds of jazz, and you have your own big band jazz group now called the Big Fat Band. How did that develop?
It developed, we've been in existence about 12 years, which is amazing for me to even say. I can't believe it's been 12 years, but I decided to do it at a relatively late point in my career. I mean, I was established pretty well here in town. I was writing animation music for Warner Brothers. Great gig. You know, we had full orchestras. We were scoring all the cartoons like Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain and that stuff. And we were winning Emmy Awards, and just it was a golden era. And yet, I realized that it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was me doing my imitation of Carl Stalling, who was the legendary Warner Brothers composer,
right,
that did all the Bugs Bunny music.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. They used to tell me all the time, okay, it's great, but a little less Gordon Goodwin, a little more Carl Stalling, please, you know. So... as gratifying as that job was, it wasn't me. And then I at one point, you know, you kind of wake up and you say, maybe I have more road behind me than I do ahead of me. And what should I be spending my time at doing? What do I have? I'm just going from gig to gig, from film to film, or, you know, I was working a lot for the Walt Disney Company doing parades and attractions. All great stuff, but not me. So I kind of went home to the big band world, and I called a bunch of friends, and we went in the studio just to document some music I'd written. And I thought, maybe I'll try to get a record deal, or maybe I'll just play it for myself, or I didn't know. And I was lucky to get come in contact with a record company called Emergent Records, and they loved the music, even though they realized that they were going to probably lose a lot of money on it, as we all do routinely. And then one thing led to another. All of a sudden, we're doing gigs. And then now I'm talking to you and today, and the Big Fat Band is well over 50% of my day, and unfortunately, it's not a revenue neutral proposition. I mean, we all lose money to keep this music alive.
Well, I think people can hear the passion you have for it, and the fact that you just—it's not something you could stop. And you must have gathered around you an amazing group who have that same passion and love for jazz and your compositions.
That's a large part of it, because they all. Like me, came out of a school system and fell in love with jazz at around middle school age, high school age. And even though they're making a living playing on TV shows and films and things, they recognize that they still need to nurture their creative side. And so the Fat Band has been an outlet for that for them. And it's a great source of pride for me that they're willing to... I mean, we're going to Japan in a couple weeks. And like three of the guys play on Dancing with the Stars, and, you know, they're taking it off to go to Japan. They'd make more in one day on that show than we're paying them for the whole week.
But to play in the kind of band you're offering and to play that kind of music means so much to them.
It's meaningful to them, and I think that's maybe another lesson that, you know, that we've picked up is that it's not just about money. I love the money. I need the money. We all do, but... I also, you know, you need to feel good about what you're doing every day. And so for me, it's kind of a balance between, you know, music I write for pay, music I write for the love.
Feeding your musical soul. Again, my guest from Los Angeles, musician, composer, arranger, Gordon Goodwin. He will be in Lafayette at UL Lafayette Friday, March 1st and Saturday, March 2nd. There will be a public concert in the evening on March 2nd. He will be working with the high school jazz bands and, of course, the UL Jazz Ensemble here at the university. And Gordon, how do you go about working with kids? Is that something you started since you started the Big Fat Band, or had you always been doing clinics for young musicians?
I think it increased to a great degree once the band started. Mm-hmm. I've been active in the publishing field for pretty much my whole career, but not aggressively. I would write two or three charts a year and give them to a publisher, and they would go out, you know, into the environment there. But once we started the band, I made a marketing decision, which was to brand the band, the charts, and the records together. So in other words, if we're selling a piece of sheet music, on that sheet music, there's the band logo, and it's now you can hear this music on this record. And then also, when the records would come out, it would say, do you like these charts? You can click here, you know, to purchase the charts, so that I could use the record company resources and the publisher's resources together to try to sell both of those things. And I've learned a lot about marketing and sales as I've tried to sell this music that's hard to sell. Mm-hmm. But it's gratifying for me to have people, especially non-music people, that hear the band and go, wow, I didn't know I liked jazz. That's jazz. Wow. Mm-hmm. We do get that for a fair amount. So in any event, since we started the band, it did tend to catch on with young kids. And matter of fact, one of the things that happens a lot is I get band directors that'll say, you know, my kids told me about your band, so I checked you out, and you know, so it seems like the high school kids, especially, are early adapters.
Yes, absolutely, and they can adapt so easily and quickly and widespread these days. So yes, that's been happening here as well, and we're all glad that we know about you because the young people love your music so much. Again, there will be a public concert on Saturday, March 2nd with Gordon Goodwin and the UL Jazz Ensemble. Will you be playing with them, Gordon, or conducting, or how will you work? Are you going to play piano with them? Or?
I'm going to play a little of everything. Mm-hmm. I play saxophone and piano, and but one of the things that I really make an effort to do when I come into a school is I don't want to just come in and stand in front of the band and do everything. I want to interact with the kids and make sure that they get an equal footing, you know, in the concert. Because I don't want to just come in and knock, you know, the piano player off the bench the whole time. So a lot of times we'll sit there, or if there's another keyboard, we'll play together or even play on the same piano together, depending on what he or she may be comfortable with. So I expect that... I think the band's going to play a few things on their own, then I'll come out and play a lot of my music, but certainly I want it to be an interactive experience for the students.
Well, a lot of people looking forward to that interaction, and it looks like you'll be playing around 11 of your compositions for that concert.
We've got an ambitious evening planned.
Yeah,
yes, we do.
Well, good. Well, we'll look forward to that, and we'll continue announcing it, and we'll be speaking with Dr. Hockepel about the concert and how people can attend and get involved.
And again, you know, that's the thing. Sorry to interrupt, no. But see, the people like Dr. Hockepel are on the front lines of this movement. And when I call it a movement, I talk about the rescuing of our culture. And I mean, I was at the Grammy Awards 2 weeks ago, and I was sitting there, my wife and I were sitting there, we had good seats right there on the floor, and we were just beat down by what we were hearing. Incredible production values, you know, fire and lasers and water effects and everything, and such a lack of any basic musicality that it's a lot of personality, a lot of emotional commitment from the artist there. And there were some really good things, but there were some things that were shocking in terms of what was missing. And, of course, jazz and classical music are never going to be on that program. I mean, they had a quick little Dave Brubeck tribute by Chick Corea, but not much else. And so the key to changing that is right in the schools. You know, and people, not like me, because I'm involved in it, you know, a couple days a week, but not Huckleberry is there every day. Mm-hmm. And people like him and people like my piano teacher. People at the middle school level that are really dealing, you know, with trying to, you know, get installed the love of this music with the young people. So, and every year, you know, the new crop of kids come in and they start over again. So I have such great respect, you know, for the educators that are doing this. And so it's, you know, it's my pleasure to come in and spend a little time with them.
Well, we have so much respect for them here as well. And I know many of them will be bringing their students on Saturday, March 2nd, to hear the concert. And, of course, some of the high school bands will be working with you as well. My guest, Gordon Goodwin, by telephone from Los Angeles. He is the founder and leader of the Big Fat Band, a wonderful group. You can hear or see them on YouTube all over the place. And probably your child has already listened to him. So, Gordon, we look forward to having you here in person in Lafayette on March 1st and 2nd, and we appreciate you taking a moment out of your busy schedule to talk to us in advance.
Hey, that's my pleasure, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Thank you so much, Gordon.
Okay, bye.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Dr. Bill Hockapel, who is director of bands here at UL Lafayette and is here to talk about an amazing concert. Many of our listeners just heard Gordon Goodwin talking about his work, his music, and what he'll be doing when he comes here to UL Lafayette. As I mentioned to him a couple times, it's been amazing to me how many students know about him, how many young people know about his music, and even those not in the music department, not students who are just in other programs, are very excited about his coming.
Oh, well, that's great to hear, because I was afraid that big band jazz maybe wouldn't reach a very wide audience, but the fact is he works in films, he works in television, we hear his music on advertisements. I think we probably heard some of his music last night if you were watching the Oscars, because I know that they'll farm out some of that music that needs to be arranged. And I knew that he was very busy in the last couple of weeks, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Well, he has certainly done something to that genre that has attracted kids. And in large part, I think it's he's sort of multi-platformed. You know, he's really learned how to use video and YouTube and spreading out on social media, and they find him that way.
That's right. And he has his own Facebook page, and there was MySpace when it was big, and you could catch his music, and while he's properly protective of it, he makes sure that it gets out to a wide audience. And one of his most recent jazz arrangements, a setting of On Green Dolphin Street, the first we all heard about it was through YouTube. And some of the students in the band brought it to me saying, "We got to do this one." And that's how we found out about that. So you're right. Mm-hmm. He's done so many things with films and animation that the people who stay and read the credits, they've seen his name. Mm-hmm. One of his Grammys was for one particular segment of The Incredibles, that animated movie. And at the very end, instead of credits, they have the in credits. And he wrote the music for the in credits, which is just a big band take on all the themes of the movie. And sure enough, that won an arranging Grammy for it.
Right. He will be here this weekend. He's coming in on Friday.
That's right.
And he's going to be doing some workshops and clinics with students in the area. I think there are several high schools that he'll be working with
Four high schools. When he first gets here, we'll find him some good Cajun food. He'll have been traveling since I think his plane takes off at 6:30 a.m. from LAX. But then we're going to have a pretty long rehearsal with our band, the UL Jazz Ensemble, because we're going to do 10 of his charts. And that's a big, long, two-set program. So he's going to work with us, make sure that everything is fine-tuned just the way he wants it. And then the next morning, He was good enough to agree to do 4 high school band clinics. So we've invited Acadiana High School. Fountain Blue is coming all the way over from the Slidell-Covington area. North Vermilion will be here. And at the last minute, we were able to add Erath High School. And so they're all doing one of his pieces, one of his charts, as we call them in the jazz world. And then they get to have an interactive clinic with the composer on his music.
Mm, and I know in the interview he was talking about how much he believes in band programs. He came out of one and just thinks it's an invaluable, not just for becoming a musician, a music major, but also just for life and just your own personal discipline and your ability to appreciate all kinds of things in the world.
That's right. And I would suspect that all of the members of his L.A. band, which he calls the Big Fat Band, that's the initials are BPB because and I said that wrong, BPB because fat is spelled with the PH at the front. Mm-hmm. And I would say that just about all of those members came through high school, junior high, and high school band programs. And it's so great when these people make it big but don't forget their origins. And when I first started emailing him about coming down here, I said, you know, it's sad that there aren't jazz bands at every high school anymore, but let's see what we can do to liven things up a little bit. And that's why I'm glad to hear you say that there is interest out there.
Yes, a lot. So he'll be working with the UL Jazz Ensemble and also with some high school bands in the area. And then he'll have a public concert on Saturday, and
right,
that will be March 2nd at Angel Hall.
Yep, 7:30 p.m., and we don't have to worry about advance tickets. We're just meeting people at the door. It's $10 for the general public and $5 for students and seniors. All UL students and faculty and staff get in for free because this is partly sponsored by the UL Concert Committee, and I just didn't know if something this expensive would be able to be in their budget, but when I presented the idea to them last May, they thought this might be a great thing to try.
Absolutely. I mean, we're just out of the, you know, Grammy, Emmy, Oscar season, and he has been nominated countless times. And
14 Grammy nominations.
Right.
But when you're in there with people like Quincy Jones and Gil Evans, it's amazing to be in that kind of nomination panel. And I think it really does say something, just like we hear the nominee saying all the time, it's an honor to be nominated.
Right.
It really is, because you're up amongst those top 5 or 10 in your career.
Right, and that many times as well.
Right.
Again, we are talking about Gordon Goodwin, a musician, composer, arranger. He has the Big Fat Band out of L.A. They tour all over the world. He will be in Lafayette this weekend, Friday and Saturday. My guest is Dr. Bill Hockepel, who's director of bands here at UL Lafayette. Works very hard with the UL Jazz Ensemble. And, of course, there's a wonderful jazz week in the fall and in the springtime as well that many people wait for and look forward to as well. But this is through the UL Concerts Committee, and it will be Gordon Goodwin joining the UL Jazz Ensemble playing many of his compositions.
Right. He's a wonderful pianist, so he'll front the band. Will be the stand-in for the Big Fat Band. He usually picks 10 charts, he says. So we went through that, but we'll be his players. He'll be at the keyboard, but he's also bringing his tenor, so he'll do a lot of tenor sax soloing. He's going to borrow my soprano just because we can only get so many things on the plane. So he's going to be featured on every number, plus he gets to be on the mic and tell us about how these things came about. For instance, Hunting Wabbits with a W is his tribute to the cartoon writers, and he put in plenty of time doing that, working for Disney, working for Warner Brothers. One of his Emmys was for Bah Humbug, A Looney Tunes Christmas. So we hear his music, which don't always know whose name is attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be great to have him telling us about these charts in between the playing and the work that the band's doing. And my goodness, they've worked hard. They've all put in a lot of extra time,
mm-hmm,
the students.
Well, and having worked with some of his charts and introduced those charts to your students, what's your feeling about his music? What do you like about his compositions?
We've done at least one of his charts on every concert since I started working with the band, and we don't get tired of them. Now, I was a little bit I wondered what it would be like doing 10 or 11, but there's so much variety that I don't think the students are in the slightest bit bored by doing 10 pieces by the same composer. We have funk. There's a swing. There's some Latin. We have this outlandish cartoon thing called Hunting Wabbits I mentioned. We've got a ballad. He's got two standards that we're doing. And I think we're going to close with On Green Dolphin Street, which is his tribute to Oscar Peterson, one of his great influences as a pianist. And originally it was going to be with Oscar playing off a video screen, because he's been gone for quite a few years now. But you remember how Natalie Cole did that duet with her father? It was going to be big band with Oscar. In the end, it ends up being Gordon live. So he's going to be sitting in and kind of channeling Oscar Peterson, which is no easy feat. And for us to do it at those tempos is no easy feat.
Well, what an opportunity for all of us to experience his talent. You may have just heard him talking. He joined us by telephone from Los Angeles a little bit earlier and talked about his origins. And in fact, Oscar Peterson was the first jazz performer that he just fell in love with. Uh-huh. And when he heard him performing, he just thought, that's what I want to do. That's what I've got to do. So, he's been loving jazz for a long time. And the jazz program here at UL is a very extensive program. It's been around for a while, and it's been growing. So many kids wanting to be a part of it, and a lot of them coming out of those wonderful high school band programs and jazz ensemble programs that we have here.
That's right. We've got jazz majors in the band, also music ed and performance majors, but we've got people from outside the School of Music, too. Every August, anyone who wants to try out can become a member of the saxophone, trumpet, trombone, or rhythm section. So we've got a good mix in there now. Trying to come to this professional level, anytime you bring a good guest artist in, it really creates a new kind of motivation for improvement in the players.
Mm-hmm. Now, will the sessions with the students be open, kind of like master classes? Can people sit in?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Even our rehearsal Friday night, we're going to put some chairs around the back and sides of the band. So if people want to watch him work, see how he gets into the music by pulling it apart, they can do that. And then the clinic sessions will have that same kind of gallery seating. Everything's in Angel Auditorium. And it may be that you'll just be able to come right up and sit on the stage rather than watching him with his back to you, because, of course, the real operating part of any conductor is face on to the group. So we want to keep things cozy and informative.
And that will be on Friday.
Our rehearsal is 7 to 10 p.m. on Friday, and then the high school clinics starting at about 9:30 in the morning on Saturday. And the concert isn't until 7:30 on Saturday night.
Okay, and all that information is on the School of Music's website.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and if someone's interested in finding out more about Gordon Goodwin, do you have a particular song they should search for? Do you have some favorites of his? Because apparently there's a lot out on YouTube and other.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. There's so many of them.
It is hard to pick a favorite. We're leading off with a tune called Count Bubba, so certainly thinking of Count Basie in there. I mentioned Hunting Wabbits. We've got one of his arrangements on Green Dolphin Street. Another arrangement that we're doing of his is When I Fall in Love. So he does standards as well as many of his own compositions. He recently won a Grammy for an arrangement of Rhapsody in Blue that he did in a big band style for his group. So those are some of the ones to click. But I would say just put in Gordon Goodwin and things are going to pop up, particularly if you're on YouTube and you're going to enjoy any of them.
But Look for Big Fat Band.
Yeah, try to hear the Big Fat Band, because you'll hear hundreds of high school and college bands playing his music, but it's fun to hear it in the original settings.
All right, Big Fat Band or Gordon Goodwin, you can look him up.
Right.
And then we have an opportunity here in Lafayette. And, of course, we're covering all over South Louisiana, so anyone listening in the outside areas, great opportunity to hear a Grammy-winning jazz composer, arranger, big band leader, and just an amazing educator and musician himself.
That's right.
So that's going to be this weekend, Friday and Saturday. The concert will be on Saturday evening, but as Dr. Hockebaum, my guest, mentioned, there are opportunities to sit in on the rehearsals and enjoy the process.
That's right. We'd love to have you. We just don't have the big bands touring like we used to. Stan Kenton's gone, Count Basie and Duke Ellington are gone, but this is pretty close to the real thing. Well, at least we're bringing in the writer.
Yeah, And you really bring that jazz ensemble up to a very professional standard. And I think anyone who hasn't heard them should have that treat.
I think they'll enjoy the show.
Yeah. So that's open to the public. Well, you can buy tickets at the door Saturday evening, 7:30. And there are those rehearsal times as well. That's on the website, the UL School of Music website. My guest, Dr. Bill Hockepel, director of bands, has brought in Gordon Goodwin with the Big Fat Band from Los Angeles. And he'll be here with us this weekend. Again, as a part of the UL Concert Series.
And that's right.
That's a great series that brings in names like Gordon Goodwin and people that we might not otherwise get to see.
That's right. It's a great opportunity.
That's right. Well, Bill, thank you so much for your work with the Jazz Ensemble and for ensuring that we get to experience these great musicians and all of y'all's work in the School of Music.
Well, thank you.
And to find out more about the School of Music, just go to their website. Lots of information about the programs there and, of course, their schedule of events and concerts. There's something to do almost every night through the School of Music.
That's
thank
right.
you so much, Bill.
Okay. Thank you.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. This evening at Vermilionville, the new film series Les Vues continues with a showing of Reconstructing Creole by filmmaker Jennifer Block. Reconstructing Creole is about culture, race, and history on one Louisiana plantation, the Laura Plantation. An electrical fire in 2004 had burned away the Victorian additions to it, leaving the original Creole house. And a lot of discussion and discussions about that particular house and historical cultural discussions. That's tonight, 6:30 at Vermilionville. All are invited to attend. It's a free program and lots of discussion afterwards. Every last Monday of the month, there will be a film shown at Vermilionville. For more information, you can visit their website or go to their Facebook page. This Wednesday at 4 o'clock in the Gaines Center here on campus, there will be a talk given by noted Senegalese scholar Dr. Ibrahima Seck. The title is Slavery and Freedom in Louisiana, the Whitney Heritage Plantation Museum. That will be this Wednesday at 4 o'clock, the third floor of Dupre Library in the Gaines Center. Acting Up in Acadiana presents Cat Tales and Doggy Monologues 4. That's their 2013 student showcase. Performances will be held this Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday at the Acadiana Center for the Arts at 6:30. There will be an original play written by company members, Harmony Decker and other authors who have submitted them from around the country. For more information, you can contact Acting Up in Acadiana or the ACA. Tickets will be available at the door. The Gaines Center and the UL Creative Writing Program present Dawn Lundy Martin, a prize-winning poet. She will be reading this Wednesday, February 27th, in the Gaines Center. Her reading begins at 7:30. It's free and open to everyone. And Mary Chapin Carpenter and Sean Colvin will be performing at the Hyman Center February 27th, this Wednesday. PASA is presenting this concert. Tickets are available through the Hyman Center or through Ticketmaster. For more information, you can also go to the PASA website or give them a call. This Thursday in Grand Coteau, there will be a special program by musician Jason Homan and a poetry reading by Chelsea Murray. This Thursday from 7 until 9 o'clock. Following will be an open mic session. All are invited to bring an original piece of work. And there will be a reunion of the Beausoleil Solar House this Friday, March 1st, 1:30. It will be taking place at the Beausoleil, Louisiana Solar Home. And there, the day will begin with a roundtable discussion. Actually, that will be in Fletcher Hall, room 134. It's open to the public. Members of the original team, as well as faculty, administration, and community advisors will be there. And there will be a slideshow of the entire entire story of the Beausoleil home that will be shown at that time. After the roundtable discussion, the Beausoleil home will be open to the public for touring from 3:30 to 6 p.m. That's all taking place this Friday. For more information about that, you can call the School of the Arts and or the Department of Architecture. And Music and Faith will be performed March 1st, this Friday. That's a part of the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra's offerings. It's music by Bach, Handel, Gorecki, and many others. Jennifer Welch Babbage, Metropolitan Opera Soprano, will be performing with the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. That's this week, Friday, March 1st, and that will be at the Cathedral of St. John. And this weekend, Gordon Goodwin, arranger, composer, musician, will be performing with the UL Jazz Ensemble on Saturday, a public concert at 7:30 in Angel Hall. But there will be opportunities, rehearsals, and clinics that the public can attend as well. That's this Friday and Saturday, Gordon Goodwin here at UL Lafayette. For more information, you can contact the School of Music. The Andrew Zone Robert Sharp Guitar Duo will give a concert this Friday, March 1st at 7:30 in Burke Hawthorne Hall. The concert is presented through the University Concert Series and is open to the campus community and the general public at no charge. That is the Andrew Zahn and Robert Sharp Guitar Duo this Friday. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, stop by our website, krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button, downloading a weekly schedule. You can also listen to podcasts of many of our locally produced programs. Just search for your favorite program and either listen to archived shows there or download shows for listening to later on. And of course, you can always support KRVS easily and securely at our website. Just click on the Support or Pledge Now buttons. You can also find out more about donating a vehicle to KRVS. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. And at 7 o'clock, we begin our Monday night of opera with World of Opera. That goes until around 11 o'clock, at which time you can hear Rock Japan. In just a moment, we join NPR's All Things Considered.
Thank you. KRVS Lafayette, Lake Charles.